Let me ask you a question. Are you on the train? Are you on the Incredible Zabe train that has pulled out of the station? 5-0-1 in my first 2 weeks, documented right here on the Zabecast. Get to my bookie and get an account and start hammering. Come on now. It's winning season at my bookie. I don't know about you guys, but for me, a game is 10 times more exciting when you got a little bit of something on it. Doesn't have to be a ton of money. Could be 10 bucks. It's the juice. It's fun thinking, yes, I just won lunch tomorrow at Chipotle. Sometimes you got a gut feeling about a game. You're just like, I got to go with it. If you don't have gut feelings, go with me. I'm hot right now. Regardless of how you play or how you've been betting for years, get with MyBookie. MyBookie is a rock-solid place to get your sweet, sweet action on, not just the NFL, but college football now with the SEC coming back, the NBA playoffs headed towards the finals, and, of course, the Stanley Cup and a whole bunch more. Right now, they've got a $100,000 super contest for only a $10 entry, and they're giving away $5,000 in cash prizes every 4 weeks. You'd be crazy not to invest in your sports knowledge with that kind of potential return. Sign up at MyBookie. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to claim your 100% deposit match all the way up to $1,000. That means if you put in $100, they'll give you another $100 to gamble with. It's easy to jumpstart your bankroll this way. NFL, NBA, and MLB, they've got it all on tap, and it's never too late to get started. So let's go. MyBookie, it's winning season now, exclusively at MyBookie.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Today on the Zabecast, the NFL has gone Genghis Khan on coaches wearing masks. As always, the most important question is, why? Glenn Yunis, head of the Ed Reed Foundation, joins me to discuss whether Dion is just going to be a celebrity coach at Jackson State, plus what he thinks of the Raiders' new digs. All that, plus my thoughts on how to hold a secure, unhackable vote this November. Your high test, not street legal, 30-minute dosage of pure Zabe is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020. Thank you for joining me and thank you for downloading. Well, well, well. The NFL has gone full Genghis Khan on mask wearing with its coaches. Three more $100,000 fines on Tuesday after a slew of them came down on Monday. The coaches getting it on Tuesday included Jay Gruden and Sean Payton, the Monday night participants. And it's not enough that they wore the mask. They didn't wear it properly. They had it around their chin. And so the NFL has swooped in and said, this must stop. Hell, Sean Payton has already had COVID. Kyle Shanahan here, he's just a dick. He doesn't care. But Sean Payton has had COVID. Why does he have to wear a mask? Well, you don't know. He could get it again. Okay. Sure, Karen. Whatever. I thought when they said they were going to start finding coaches, I thought it was going to be like, yeah, okay. Well, nick them $10,000 here, $50,000 there, start escalating it up. Not like this. And to find the teams as well, somewhat. $250,000. I mean, again, these teams are worth billions of dollars, so that's not really a big deal, but it's sending a message. Is it because the coaches heard the league's edict and said, nah, it doesn't matter? And they're now like, oh, you will bend to the knee of the shield? Or is it something else? I think it might be something else. It's stunning that the aggressiveness that they have gone after these coaches with no guidance, no uniformity, no concern either for coaches and doing what their job is. I mean, I put a mask on radio for just less than 10 minutes and did the show to point out It's not comfortable. When you are in the communication business, and these coaches do essentially a three-hour show themselves at high volume, talking to a bunch of different people, coordinators, fellow coaches, players, referees, you name it. To do that for 3 hours with a mask on, I mean, you're talking about complex play calls. You're talking about saying over and over again things like red, right, rocket, 42, X, jet, Y, tango, orbit. And you got to get all that right. It's got to come out real quick and a little bit of muffling, a little bit, wait, what? There's so much subtle communication that happens as well vocally that we all are unaware of on a daily basis where you might just say, yeah, no, I'll get it later. Like, no, I'm going to get it later turns into, no, I'm going to get it later. You can say that real quick and the person knows exactly what it is. You put a mask on, it starts to become muffled. Wait, what did you say? So why? That's the ultimate question. You know, the NHL does not prohibit their coaches from being maskless. They don't wear masks in the NHL. Why? That's interesting. Baseball encourages their managers, and most of them do, although they're not talking about fining any of the guys. Of course, managers in baseball, they're not communicating as much as coaches are in football. They're not, other than just saying, all right, hum babe, let's go now. Let's get one in there. And they can go into the dugout. The managers can, and they can pull their mask off a little bit and get a breath and get a drink and spit some seeds and whatever. So who are they appeasing? This clearly is a ritual to appease somebody. I'm not sure who, somebody. And then it dawned on me. First of all, I think it's, of course it's optics, but it's also more than that. I'm guessing that the NFL is doing this to appease the local authorities, the governors, the mayors, the health officials, because guess what? They're the ones who hold the key to their business. They're the ones who have them by the short hairs. This is what I said 6 months ago, early on in the pandemic. I said, listen, when I heard the health official in Santa Clara County in Northern California say, I don't envision any sports games for quite some time. I'm like, oh boy, sports games. And that should have sent a chill down the owner's spines if it hasn't already. They have to appease these tin pot dictators to get the fans back in the stadiums. And I think that they are going to this length to say, to prove in a theatrical way, because it is safety theater. I mean, again, Sean Payton had COVID. He doesn't need a mask. He's being tested anyway, three times a week, just like every other tier one personnel in the NFL. But the reason is these local authorities now have the NFL hostage. And guess what? They could say, well, you know, you have a hard time getting your coaches to wear masks. I'm not sure we can even permit you to have any fans, or maybe 10% at most, but we're going to have to wait a whole season to see if there's safety in going to these sports games, as that one official said. I think that's what's going on here. It is an extreme play by these NFL owners. Because remember, they're making the owners wear masks as well. I think that certain owners missing games because of COVID, not even positive tests, but just because of contact tracing, like Dan and Tanya Snyder, it's to appeal these tin pot dictators because they, with all their power, with all their money, with all their connections, they can't get past those little fucking dictators. And they're the ones that hold the key to it. So that's my theory. I'd like to hear your theory. It's the best I've got, but it just seems crazy that they would come down and find these coaches so insanely hard out of the gate. All right, let's talk to my man, Glenn G. Unit Eunice.
The Zcast.
Yeah, boy. Hey, y'all. All I see is Robert Griffin III when I see this cat now.
Andre 2000 does look like RG3.
Yeah, it does. All right, my man, we got a lot to talk about today. So how you doing, first and foremost? Been a long time.
I'm doing great. One new toilet's in. One old toilet is out, will be replaced shortly, and then another one will be replaced at the new house, if you remember.
Last time we talked, first order of business, wife wanted new crappers. And you being a husband that wants to keep his wife happy, you're like, okay, new crappers it is.
And I'm generally the one utilizing said crapper, so I'm okay with it.
Exactly.
Powder room has been updated. Hallway bathroom is totally demoed right now. And all good.
It's all good in the hood, as we like to say. Okay, let's start with item number one on my list, and that is, Vegas.
Item number one should be that you gave me like a 10-point, I had to do homework.
Nah, a little bit of homework. excuse me, I would have walked you through it if you needed to, but.
No, you're fine.
Item number one is the Vegas Stadium. I asked this question on my Twitter poll today, and I said, Redskin fans, DMV football fans, seeing what they have, which is an indoor stadium, you can use it for multi-purpose events. It's got a real grass field, and it's got a translucent roof. It's gorgeous. Would you, A, wrap it up, we'll take one of those here in D.C., B, say, I'd kind of like a retractable roof at least, or C, no, football is to be played in the elements. Where would you vote on that?
Somewhere between A and B. We don't need a rocket ship like that, but we do need something where, listen. FedEx at Raljohn sucks so bad. Zabe, between you and I, we've probably been to every stadium in the league 3 times.
I have not. Right. I've been to a fair amount of them, but I do know FedEx sucks balls. It is consistently ranked the worst in the league.
It's the worst game. Forget the stadium for a second. Overall experience, the worst, and we don't need to rehash it because everyone knows, the worst game day experience in the history of the NFL. It's really just brutal. So they need something new. I don't know if we need that spaceship. I actually last year was at SoFi in LA when they were doing construction on it because it's where they shot part of the NFL 100 commercial where the little kid runs through the tunnel. I was at that production. And that stadium was holy shit amazing under construction about a year ago or so. They need a new stadium. It doesn't need to have all the bells and whistles. It needs to have several of them. I think DC is a little bit more of a conservative place than Vegas. That's not a shocker to anybody. Give us a new stadium. Give us a dome or a retractable roof. Maybe we'll get the Olympics or the World Cup and whenever next time it's around. You can have concerts in and out. They need something. That stadium sucks, and that location's maybe the only thing worse than the game day experience might be the actual location of the stadium.
Well, that's two. We need the right stadium in the right place. Yeah. And I think in this day and age,
it doesn't need to be a mega thing.
No.
90,000, 70's fine.
It's more than enough.
It's 1 hour up the road. Go to the fucking Ravens game and just figure out how they do it. And just do it similar. It's crazy.
Yes, it shouldn't be that hard. Okay, item number two. Are you aware of the Katie Noland, Jason Whitlock Battle Royale? God damn my voice. Battle Royale going on right now, and the pushback from people like Alex Flanagan. Are you up to speed on that? I can get you up to speed. Basically, Whitlock dropped the bomb by saying, look, the reason there's too many woke sports writers that worship at the feet of otherwise untalented, in front of the line, female broadcasters. And they're not a ton, but there's some like Katie Noland who aren't funny, aren't good on live
TV.
Cute. But she has gone.
She's good enough, and that's it.
The thing that made people, I think, that really stirred up the hornet's nest is that he wrote she went from bartender to seven-figure TV star. And some people
that's
like,
not false, though. That's real.
I know it's not false. And people are like, I don't know why you have to degrade being a bartender. That, I was this, I was that. That's what they say,
people,
Glenn.
Are so – shut up and get a life. He's not downgrading bartenders. He's comparing it to a 30 job in the world career that is supposed to be held in some reverence, and you're supposed to have some credentials and some grit and some crawl through a pile of fucking mile of shit to come out clean on the other end.
Thank you.
Not be some
Thank you.
All the shit that we did.
That, right. In other words, have a bit of a resume. It's not that she's...
Oh, yeah. You mean like actually work for it? Sorry. I'm not talking about Kelly Nolan. I'm talking about the idea that he can't write that article about people going, oh, you're downgrading bartenders? That's like the theme in Good Will Hunting when Matt Damon's talking to Ben Affleck at the construction site or talking to Robin Williams and the thing. And he's like, you know, what do I want to be a bricklayer? And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, my dad was a bricklayer. That's a noble job. But you're built for bigger than that. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, we're not making fun of bartenders. We're just saying that that job is more important than bartending. Sorry.
Right. Well,
God, I hate everyone.
I know. I know. Here's the thing.
Damn, I just got fired up.
I don't mind somebody starting as a bartender, but you better show me some stops in between. It's when you go from bartender to Fox Sports Television and then be given an Emmy Award and then go to ESPN. And then they're like, well, we can't use you on live TV. This is another thing. Whitlock's column said she can't deliver live TV. He knows this, having worked with her. He knows her rep and that she chokes when the red light is on. And so now they've got her on online digital for literally $1 million a year. She does this this internet show for $1 million a year. And Whitlock's point is this wouldn't happen if she wasn't cute. Period.
Yeah, I mean, so a couple things. I don't begrudge. I go, you know, you're still a colleague and my former Doc Walker is like, I don't begrudge anybody getting money because if there's money out there for them, that means there's money out there for me. So from that standpoint,
But guess what? Those jobs aren't. We don't go from bartender as a dude.
No.
To $1 million.
No, we have to work at every single thing in the world times 1,000 to get there.
And truthfully, when it comes to television, it doesn't matter how good or how much we work.
That's right.
Television is the land of beautiful people, as you and I know. And that's just a fact.
You can put you and I in any studio, TV, radio, anytime, anywhere, period, and we'll kill it. But we're ugly. So
yes.
That's it.
Right, and that's a being ugly and being bald is a disqualifying factor, from being on TV. There's very few genuinely like Paul Feinbaum is the one exception of an ugly dude who is on television.
And it's because he cornered the market. But you know the Katie Nolan thing's interesting. So like again, like I don't have the venom that you do for Katie Nolan going from bartender to $1 million.
I don't have venom. I just I'm like she has no resume. She has no background.
But it's okay.
She didn't pay her dues. I don't care where she started.
Exactly.
Show me some intermediate steps. The same thing with Sarah Spain. Sarah Spain went from internet blogger who once auctioned off a date with her as a Bear fan to go to a game, and now she's like on TV. Where are the interim steps? Where's the qualifications? Where's the grind? Where's the hustle? Shut the fuck up. We all know you're pretty. You're pretty. They go to the front of the line. That's what Whitlock's column was about.
Totally. And that's my thing is like, I don't begrudge them for having that gig, but if someone's going to call them out for sort of jumping the line, and I mean jumping it times 1,000, then that's got to be safe too.
Yeah.
If you can cut the line because you're – and by the way, early on in Katie Nolan's career, she was cute enough and cheeky. And okay, I could see a little bit there.
She's not funny. What funny looks like. It makes me laugh. And there are women that are funny as fuck. She's not funny. Anyway, it's interesting because Whitlock is just going scorched earth.
Alex Flanagan used to be hot, not so much anymore, but it's father time.
I know.
Was she your number one overall pick back in the day?
As a middle-aged woman? Yeah, she was a fucking smoke show.
Yeah, I think
show.
Shannon.
She's got model qualities. But here's the thing.
No, she's hot. Shannon Spake to me.
She's cute.
Before and after twins, great.
But of course, we have to respect these women for their reporting skills and their hard work.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about their looks right now.
I know we are.
I am.
Alex Flanagan, to me, has model qualities. She is stunningly beautiful. And I don't know if she's working still or not.
I think she's doing. Isn't she still doing Notre Dame football on NBC? Or is because I think Leanne McEwen's doing studio. I think she's still doing NBC Notre Dame football, but I could be wrong.
I guess she still works for the NFL Network. She's 47 years old, born in Sonoita, Arizona, 6 foot tall.
Hey
tall
now.
Drink of water. Hey now. Anyway.
Yes.
So apparently Whitlock back in the day criticized her for not asking a question about what happened in a Seahawk game as the sideline reporter.
Yeah.
And called her sideline Barbie.
Oh, well. you know what? Get in line. We get those emails. Well, I'm not on the air anymore, but we got those emails and calls and texts every day bashing us.
I know.
That's part of the gig. Yeah, if you're going to be a public figure, you got to eat shit.
Yeah. Take the elbows and keep on marching.
Right.
Yeah, when you're up on a high pedestal, you get a lot of rocks and garbage thrown at you.
Yes.
The view is the best, though, and it's the penthouse, so it's the best place to be.
Exactly. 100%. You know what I'd say to people? You're calling my show, not the other way around. Thank you for the phone call. You know, like, goodbye.
All right.
And the other thing is, just in general, Zabe, like, we're so, so soft, as you would say. I mean, it's just such weak sauce, just from everybody. Just listen, tighten up a little bit, people. It's not that serious, okay?
Let me ask you a question. Are you on the train? Are you on the Incredible Zabe train that has pulled out of the station? 5-0-1 in my first 2 weeks, documented right here on the Zabecast. Get to my bookie and get an account and start hammering. Come on now. It's winning season at my bookie. I don't know about you guys, but for me, a game is 10 times more exciting when you got a little bit of something on it. It doesn't have to be a ton of money. It could be 10 bucks. It's the juice. It's fun thinking, yes, I just won lunch tomorrow at Chipotle. Sometimes you got a gut feeling about a game. You're just like, I got to go with it. If you don't have gut feelings, go with me. I'm hot right now. Regardless of how you play or how you've been betting for years, get with MyBookie. MyBookie is a rock-solid place to get your sweet, sweet action on. Not just the NFL, but college football now with the SEC coming back, the NBA playoffs headed towards the finals, and, of course, the Stanley Cup and a whole bunch more. Right now, they've got a $100,000 super contest for only a $10 entry, and they're giving away $5,000 in cash prizes every 4 weeks. You'd be crazy not to invest in your sports knowledge with that kind of potential return. Sign up at MyBookie. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to claim your 100% deposit match all the way up to $1,000. That means if you put in 100, they'll give you another 100 to gamble with. It's easy to jumpstart your bankroll this way. NFL, NBA, and MLB, they've got it all on tap, and it's never too late to get started. So let's go. MyBookie, it's winning season now, exclusively at MyBookie. All right, item number three with you. Deion Sanders, named as the new coach at Jackson State. Will he be a celebrity coach? Your guy.
Yes.
I don't want to call him your client, although I guess he kind of is your client, Ed Reed.
Yeah.
The Ed Reed Foundation. He is an assistant coach with the U, whose turnover chain, by the way.
Chief of staff,
whatever. He's on the sideline. I know that.
It's different. Well, I did the deal, so I know.
Okay, I know. I know. And by the way, hold on, timeout.
I got so a 20. You know I know Deion.
Hold on. 20-second timeout here. Hey, oh, listeners. Glenn is a new character. Glenn is a new character on the show. You don't know him yet. You hear him say these things, and you email me going, this fucking guy, name-dropping this, I don't like him. Let me remind you, dear listeners, you said the same thing about Ron Thomas. You have come around on Ron Thomas. You've gotten to know him fully, and you appreciate him. Same thing's going to happen here. Just trust Zabe. When I vouch for somebody and I bring him on, there's a reason for it. Okay, so you did the deal. He's chief of staff.
Can I just say something? I'm not even bragging. I'm sandbagging. I'm not even telling you 85% of the little world that I have here. You know?
I know.
That's not going to help, I don't think. I don't think that's going to help.
God damn it, Glenn. It's all that work. All that heavy lifting is gone in a second.
It's a joke, people.
I know. Okay. So is Deion going to be more than just a celebrity coach? He made quite the splash with his introduction. Yeah.
So Deion, I know Deion a little bit through Ed, and we've coached in the Under Armour All-American game a couple years together with Deion, and I know a lot of his coaches.
We've coached?
Yeah, I mean, the last 3 years, I've been sort of the director of ops with Ed for our team with the Under Armour All-American
game. Do I have to call you, Glenn, coach?
You have to call me coach? That's incorrect.
Okay.
Although, you need to say coaching pants and have a clipboard. And people call me coach.
Coaching pants, I call them coach. Coaching pants straining at the seam, I might add.
I asked for a bigger size. Cut it out. Can I tell you there's nothing more sexy is not the right word because everyone's too macho. They're going to think that's like, you know, weird. But there's nothing cooler than you don't have to know anybody's name because you're on the football field. Everyone's coach. Hey, coach. Yep.
Coach.
It's awesome. So Deion has his own full-fledged like school and camp and all these different things going on in Texas. So
I
think he had that.
I think it closed because of like violations and shit, but that's fine.
All that.
Will he be?
My point is he does enjoy shepherding young men to a bright future via football. And that's not bullshit. It sounded really good, but he does enjoy that. It's his thing.
Okay.
And so certainly with a personality the way he is, he's going to be some sort of a celebrity coach. He will get his hands dirty, not as much as some, but at that level, not at Jackson State, but at Alabama, SEC, a lot of these guys are figureheads, and they're, you know, as Mack Brown, this is the best. I'm interviewing Mack Brown at a media day, God, I don't know, 10 years ago when I was at SiriusXM. Well, you know, Glenn, this is how we do it around here in Texas. I coach the coaches, coaches coach the players. That's kind of how we do it around here in Texas. So that's
– He's like, I coach the coaches. The coaches coach the players. Yeah.
I coach the coaches, coaches coach the players. That's how we do it around here down in Texas. So
isn't that true at most? Isn't that true at most major battleship programs in college football? The big ones.
It's the most succinct, accurate statement any coach has probably given anyone.
Yeah.
And so I think Deion's going to do that. You know, he's going to coach the coaches who coach the players.
Okay. Item number five. Have you seen New York City's proposal for dining outdoors in winter? They've got these curbside bubbles made of plastic, and they think that that might be the solution to dining outside. I ask you, a man who, like me, enjoys dining and being out with friends.
There's nothing more. God, I love you.
Is there even any fucking point in going out to dinner and to sit outside in a bubble, pretending like it's not freezing cold still in January?
Only because you vouched for me to your fans and I want to disappoint them, I'm going to tell the story this way. So for a couple years, I was part of Inside the NFL on Showtime with Boomer and Phil Sims and Ed Reed and Brandon Marshall and those guys, because Ed was on the show and I produced him for that show and would go up every week. So I spent a lot of time in the winter in New York is the point. And in most of the restaurants down in Midtown that we would go to for dinner on either Monday night or if we would.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Day Tuesday after taping the show in the afternoon, they'd all have those screened in plastic vestibules, if you will, as you walk into the restaurant.
Right.
So that little plastic bubble world to walk into a restaurant to keep the heat in is fairly common. They're just taking that same model of wrapping their front door or their little entrance so that people can stand there and wait for a cab or wait for an Uber.
Right.
They've taken that and just extended it.
Yeah, but,
so the
idea of that little plastic bubble
is not
– let me interrupt.
I won't enjoy eating in a bubble outside.
Let me interrupt. You got to see the photos if you haven't seen it. I should have sent you a link.
I have not.
Okay, these are like plastic –
I have the interwebs.
These are like plastic igloos that are all the way out curbside because of these COVID regulations. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, I get it that you're standing waiting for your Uber inside the little plastic bubble. You've already got your coat on. Yeah. and you can be standing there for 5-10 minutes max. You're not going to be sitting there in a plastic bubble all the way out on the street, getting splashed by cars in the fucking rain, and saying to yourself, oh, I'm perfectly comfortable and I'm enjoying dining out here.
No, you won't.
I can't believe anybody would say, yeah, sign me up for that. I would just say, agree. This sucks. It looks like more Swanson's dinner for me. And guess what? Please. When you're right, or take in, call me when New York's open again. I'll hunker down for another 6 months. No way would I do that. You must have had some amazing fucking dinners. Holy shit! Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, great dinners. But to your point, that doesn't seem appealing to me. I want to be able to go eat in a restaurant right now. I don't feel comfortable. I belong to a country club. At my country club that I belong to, I took my wife and my in-laws and stuff, and we ate outside the other night. But Saturday night, we thought it might be a little chilly here in Maryland. Yeah. It wasn't. It was beautiful. But there was nobody in the dining room because we went early because I have a baby. My wife was like, we're absolutely 100% not eating inside. I'm like, there's nobody in here. She's like, nope. So I'm still on level 10. Dave, I'm still on level 10.
Now, is it you or is it your lovely wife?
Yeah. Yes, number two.
Okay, it's your wife. So your wife's your wife has a newborn baby. I can understand the fear and the trepidation, and it is just dinner. It's going to take some time.
She goes to work every day.
Does she bring the baby to work with her?
No, the baby goes to school.
Right. The baby's going to be fine. Luckily, Glenn. This virus doesn't target babies. There are lots of viruses and flus and other illnesses that target the young. And it's terrible. It's unthinkable. Kids die of that all the time. Thankfully, this one doesn't. Yet this one has freaked out people more than anything ever in our history, which is nuts.
Well, you know why? It's because
it
didn't come from a bat in a wet market. All right. Someone started... Someone's homebrew got a little bit wonky, and whoever was in charge in babysitting wasn't paying attention. Whoever was in charge of that, I mean, get out of here.
Yeah, well, we'll see the tale of where
a
this
bat
thing
in a wet market.
Where this thing came from and the who and the why. That's going to be a longer story. It'll come out eventually, and it'll probably be a doozy.
Come out when we're probably dead.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Have you seen the next item? Is the Red Tails uniforms for Air Force that they're going to wear to not only honor the Tuskegee?
Oh, I thought that was a joke for the Redskins.
Oh, you need to Google this. I'm going to play you the video right now.
I'm on it.
Okay.
Red Tails. What am I Googling, Zane?
Air Force Red Tails. Take a listen to this hype video.
The fact that back in World War II, we had an all-Negro fighter group.
This is one of the black generals that commanded the Tuskegee Airmen who fought the P-51s with the distinctive red tails, and they were called the Red Tails.
I commanded.
One of my German friends used to say when he saw us coming, he saw it was Red Tail. And he would call over the radio, here come the Blackbirds, let's get the hell out of here.
That's great. Here come the Blackbirds, let's get the hell out of here.
Wanted to be treated as men. That's it. That was our objective. And to make sure that we received the opportunity to perform at the level that we felt good.
When I went to flying school, people said...
So these uniforms are so fire. So fire, if you ask me, because they got all the military insignias and the little things on them. They're... I love it, man.
I love it too. The only thing I would say is I'm a very plain and simple.
So
I think
it's a bit too
differ.
It's a bit too fancy. It tries too hard. It is
like the shoulders. I don't need the yellow bars on the shoulders.
I know.
But
for one time, as a one-off.
This is why you trick it out. Yeah.
That's going to be great. Air Force is playing a two-game season. You know that, right?
What about your boys that played a one-game season just for the quarterback to get a little long toss in?
North Dakota State.
That's
Carson Wentz is alma mater. They're like, we're going to get him one. Yeah.
Can I follow my sword here to your audience?
Yeah, sure.
I was wrong. I didn't think they'd be playing college football this year.
A lot of people.
And I'm glad they are. And I had good, relevant information.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think we'd play. And I'll tell you, I didn't think the NFL was a solid 50-50 in my book. And I think I was on your show saying that. And we didn't get our normal NFL marketing dollars released from bigger brands until like 4 weeks ago because they were unsure.
Yeah.
And I'll just, you know, that's Verizon, that's Snickers, that's Head and Shoulders. I mean, big brands weren't really, we were on hold. Everything was on hold, the normal stuff that we do on a yearly basis.
Happening. I mean, the league is off to
and I love it.
I know. It's good. The league is off to a good start. It's going to happen.
I need you on this one.
Yeah.
Why are there fans in Dallas and no fans in Houston and they're 3 hours apart? I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
Politics. Houston's way more liberal. Although
is that
Dallas,
right?
Although Dallas is pretty liberal at its core. It's very African-American. It votes Democratic. But Fort Worth is way more conservative. And Jerry's kind of in between in Arlington. And Jerry carries a lot of sway. And the whole state is obviously a lot more red. But no, it all comes down to the politics of it. The one thing you cannot deny about this whole virus is that our politics have riddled every decision to the core with what we're doing and how we're doing
it. It's too extreme on both sides. It's crazy town. Can we get to some sort of middle ground here a little bit?
Oh, yeah. No, we're going to.
In general, it's so crazy.
Wait till after the election. Wait till after the election. What? I'm telling you. Either way, if Biden wins, they're not going to keep crippling the economy. They're going to want to give him a good economy that is up and running by the time he takes office. So they're going to start easing up on things. And if Trump wins, then there's going to be a freak out, obviously. But I think there'll be a certain amount of resignation. And I think Trump will have the bully pulpit to really swoop in and say, all right, enough of this nonsense. We got to open the fucking country up. I've got the mandate. I won re-election. Bing, bang, boom. Either way, it's coming to a head after November 4th. So hang in 45 more days before it starts getting really better.
This is a quick one. This is a real quick question. Why is it such a radical thought that regardless of politics for a second, that it seemed like this virus, regardless of how it was hatched, attacked the elderly and the weak, and most everyone else seems to be able to digest it and it keeps it moving? We don't know the long-term effects and all that stuff, but why is that such a radical evil thought?
Because a lot of politicians
that seems very logical and exactly what's happening.
Glenn, because a lot of politicians have invested their whole narrative into what we did and what we're doing to mitigate this virus is worth it. The economic pain, the financial pain, that the erosion of civil liberties, it was worth it. If they just say, hey, you know what? We now know this thing is kind of a pussy of a virus and we can handle it and we got to go back to normal. Then everyone's going to be like, why the fuck do we do this? Why is my restaurant closed now? How come I'm out of a job? How come my kids are at home and I'm going crazy trying to teach them while doing all this stuff? So there's too much invested. It is akin to Costanza when he lied on Seinfeld about having two horses on the tip of Long Island, called Prickly Pete and Snoopy. He ended up getting in the car and driving to the tip of Long Island. That's what we're doing right now as a country. All right, final item, and then we'll go here. This has been a good run so far.
I know you're flying with me. To be fair, I am playing it way safer than sorry because of my situation and my family. And thank God.
Fine.
I have a lot of friends and business owners and restaurant owners that do very well that are getting crushed, City USA, and they want to do the right, safe thing. And they're not even allowed to do the bare minimum, and it sucks. Anyway, next thing. Sorry.
Yes. Okay. Having said that, giant fucking robot. Have you seen what they are building in Japan?
No. I took your notes, and I did nothing with them.
That's fine.
Giant robot in Japan.
Yes.
I always like when you help us along here. Anyway.
Okay.
Voltron. This is my jam.
Did you ever watch, you know, these cartoons as kids? Transformers.
What are you talking about?
This is a Gundam robot in Yokohama, Japan. It's 100 feet tall, and it's a real robot. It's a biped, and it's able to move its leg. They allowed the robot for the first time to just stretch its to stretch its legs and just kind of, you know, move out from its scaffolding like a half a step. They're building this thing for real.
Yes.
And as I like to say about whether it's this or the robot dogs that Boston Dynamics puts out videos of from time to time, Glenn, this is the worst 100-foot robot we will ever have.
That's right. They're only going to get better and more smarter and slicker and faster, and their joints are going to work better. I can't wait. I can't wait. I hope that, you know how I hope I go? I hope that I'm driving down 95 and this thing steps on my car. And that's it. I'm like, you know what? They did it. That's
exactly.
It.
I can't wait until these giant robots are forced to announce their pronouns and reject cisgender norms and to accept people as transsexual beings.
And
yeah. Oh, exactly. It'll come to them
doesn't
as well.
Compute. You know, they'll be like, doesn't compute.
Doesn't compute. All right. Last ad.
Did I watch Transformers?
All right. You
and
got
all that. Are you kidding me? Of course. I'm the hugest nerd.
All right. You've got the quarter for the jukebox. You have something about Danny Balin, who had the real Danny Noonan,
you're gonna hate me.
Michael O'Keefe, caddy
That's
for him in a practice round at Wingfoot.
Danny Balin's from Rockville, Maryland. He is my very best friend in the whole world since the sixth grade's middle brother. Danny's like my little brother.
Oh, my God.
I grew up with Danny Balin. You know Danny Balin through me, sort of.
I don't know.
But
him.
I mean,
I've never met him, but that's awesome.
But
that
he knows
you're his...
you. He knows I worked for you.
What?
Yeah.
Well, we got to get him on my show then. No offense. We got to get him on the podcast to talk about. Okay, what?
He grew up in Rockville, Maryland. He went to Rockville High School with me. I've known Danny my entire life since he was 7 years old. He's the middle of three boys. His oldest brother has been my best friend since the sixth grade, is the best man at my wedding. His parents, Danny Balin's parents, were at my house.
Wow.
2 weeks ago.
Okay. All right. You've established your bona fides on Danny Balin. Can you tell me more about his ability to get the real Danny Noonan, who did once caddy at Westchester, to caddy for him at the U.S. Open during a practice round?
The whole story is this. This was Danny's eighth major. He is a club pro. He's played in seven PGA championships. This is his first U.S. Open. Last year, he finished third. He's basically like the second or third best club pro in the country. He's the head pro at Fresh Meadow, a Jewish club on Long Island. He was at Westchester for the last few years. He was at Westchester Country Club for a good bit of years. Before that, Sunndale. Went to Penn State. He's a Michael Breed disciple. So Noonan puts this thing out on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, wherever the hell it was that he wanted to get a loop. And Breed's like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah. He goes, all right, let's see if Danny will do it. And Danny's like, dude, I'm trying to make the cut here. Like, I've played Wingfoot like 50 times. I live 10 minutes from there. Like, I'm really trying to make the cut at my first open. And Breed's like, all right, well how do you want to do it? And Danny Balin goes, you know, maybe we'll do it for the practice rounds. And Noonan's like, I'll do it. So Breed brokered the deal. Danny said he'd do it. Michelob Light came in and dropped a few bucks on both of them. And they had a hell of a little media run on Monday and Tuesday. And it was awesome. Danny shot a 73 in his opening round on Thursday. Did not make the cut on Friday. Was one under the line. Was inside the projected cut line by a stroke with 14 hole through 14, and then he blew up. So, but it was a great story, and I wanted to tell you because I heard you talk about it on a prior podcast.
All right, more to come on this. And could you arrange to have?
Yeah, I got him on the PGA Tour radio. McGinnis texted me and said, this is a good friend of mine. We used to work together. And he's like, yo, can you get Danny on? Because Danny's been on a few times with them.
You know what?
You
know what, Glenn? You're the man. I am not leveraging you enough. Thank you for that nugget of
You're
info.
Not.
And I know, and I'm going to leverage you more, but that's a fucking awesome story. And just to see the Danny Noonan wearing a Caddyshack hat, vintage, at the U.S. Open was priceless. I loved it.
Zabe, I played Caves again yesterday.
And?
I played terrible.
Nobody cares.
I mean,
nobody gives a shit. Okay. Trust me, my listeners hate you still, but they're going to love you. That's the thing. I'm going to wear them down. All right? I love you. That's all that matters. And you gave me good shit today. I love that. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
Hey, you know what? We're here for a good time, not a long time. Get off my phone.
Thank you, see you, buddy. All right, we'll end on this. Voting. Voting, I think, should be three things. One, simple. Two, efficient. Three, unhackable in today's digital age. And we are headed down a road of absolute fucking anarchy on election day for years to come if these slew of bad ideas don't stop dead in their tracks. Mail-in voting, I don't give a shit what you say. I don't give a shit how many links to how many stories probably from NPR, that say mail-in voting is perfectly safe and fraud is way overblown. Fuck you. Fuck that. No way. Doesn't pass the sniff test. Not in a million years. Not for me. This is going to be a real test this fall to see whether or not this election is at all believable by either side and done before Christmas. That's how bad I'm expecting it to be. And I think that mail-in voting is the worst idea since basically the next bad idea to come along, which will probably be internet voting, which will then turn into predictive voting. Like, well, you know, we noticed from your buying habits and your internet browsing and the GPS tracking of where you go on a daily, and we don't worry, we already voted for you. We know who you would have voted for. Don't worry. Predictive voting is more accurate. It's more accurate than real voting. Don't worry. You think you wanted to vote Democrat, but you didn't. You voted Republican. You think you wanted to vote Republican, but you didn't. You're a Democrat. We can tell. We've got the data. Oh, yeah. You're going to laugh. Come on. Oh, come on, Zabe. Yeah. So that'll end up into just, well, being no more voting the way it's going to go if, again, we don't stop ball. Stop ball. Stop ball. Stop fucking ball on all of this. Are you kidding me? To me, in a perfect world, voting would be sort of hard. Sort of hard. Not really hard. It would be kind of hard. And there's a reason why I believe it should be sort of hard. Because the lazy and the stupid and the gullible should not be voting. Oh, there I said it. Didn't that feel good? Isn't that the truth? Don't you believe that as well? As somebody who's not lazy, stupid, or gullible? Well, maybe you're a little bit gullible. That's, but the stupid and the lazy should not be voting. And the notion that we got to encourage them to vote, and better yet, send them a ballot and then go harvest it for them, is fucking insane. But I know why one party is gung-ho to do just that. Because they think they've got the dumber and the more gullible voters. We'll see about that. Anyway, here's what I think. The notion that everybody should vote is absurd. Not that, note I didn't say the notion that everybody should be allowed to vote is absurd. I didn't say that. The notion that everybody should vote is absurd. Of course, everybody of legal voting age should be allowed to vote. As far as felons being allowed to vote and getting their vote back, honestly, I'm kind of agnostic on that. Let's put that aside for the moment. But this whole thing about, well, you know, boo-hoo, I work and I can't get the day off. Bullshit. Call in sick. Or, oh, you know, old Nana, she's 90, can't get out of the nursing home to go vote. You're going to disenfranchise her. Guess what? Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Old Nana's at the end of her relevant portion of society. And she's in the taking portion of society anyhow. I will say that about my own parents when they them themselves can't get out of the house to go vote. And I'll say it about myself when I can't get out of the house to go vote. Sorry, not sorry. I know that sounds harsh, but not truly how I believe. My system would be like it is in Iraq. You show up in person. You vote with a paper ballot. You have all the parties watching over the precinct like hawks to make sure, okay, there's no funny business. Everybody gets a big purple splotch of ink on their hand that lasts at least 3 days, so you can't vote more than once. You've got to prove you live in that voting precinct. You count the votes, and you call a winner that night, hopefully before midnight. Shouldn't be that hard. The only exception would be the military. The military, because they're out serving the country, defending the country, deserves, obviously, I think, to vote, and they can't just say, okay, hold my rifle, I'm going to go fly back to the States and vote. The military is different. But guess what? The military can figure out their own way to do their own votes in person on their military bases and forward the votes back to the States. I would trust the military to do that. I mean, if you can't trust them to fight our wars, how can you trust them not? Why not trust them to run their own votes? But other people go, well, but I need a mail-in ballot because I'm traveling or I'm an expatriate or I'm caring for a loved one in another country. Guess what? Too bad. Don't care. Change your plans. Better luck next election. Seriously, sorry, not sorry. We need an unhackable, simple, efficient vote. Period. End of story. Otherwise, it'll be mayhem. But of course, we're stampeding in the other direction. We're introducing all kinds of stuff. There are several court decisions that said, oh yeah, the deadline for mail-in ballots, that's not a deadline. They don't have to receive. They don't have to be received by November 3rd, the day before the election. No, we'll give you 9 more days. Well, you just set a new deadline. How can that even be constitutional? We'll see if it gets challenged and struck down. But the notion is crazy. If you're going to extend the deadline arbitrarily to get votes in by mail, then there is just another deadline. Why have any deadlines? It's, am I yelling? I'm not yelling. I'm losing my voice, obviously. I'm not even yelling. Anyway, when this all goes to shit and you realize, yeah, you know, Zay might have been a little bit right about that. This was not a good idea. None of this. Then you can come back to me and you can apologize later or not at all. You can say I was right. Many people don't like to do that, but whatever. I'll just have to sit here and be right without you saying, God darn it, Zabe, you were right about that. All right, that is a wrap for today. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Tell a couple friends if you know they like having good things to listen to on a daily basis that are insightful, sometimes off the mark, you might think, engaging, worthy of thought and discussion, funny, informative, all these things you want in your ears on a daily basis. Not earwax. You want me, the Zabe, in your ears. Tell a couple friends and spread the word and let's grow this podcast and make it huge. Thank you for listening. Have yourself a great Wednesday and we will see you next time. Let me ask you a question. Are you on the train? Are you on the Incredible Zabe train that has pulled out of the station? 5-0-1 in my first 2 weeks, documented right here on the Zabecast. Get to my bookie and get an account and start hammering. Come on now. It's winning season at my bookie. I don't know about you guys, but for me, a game is 10 times more exciting when you got a little bit of something on it. Doesn't have to be a ton of money. Could be 10 bucks. It's the juice. It's fun thinking, yes, I just won lunch tomorrow at Chipotle. Sometimes you got a gut feeling about a game. You're just like, I got to go with it. If you don't have gut feelings, go with me. I'm hot right now. Regardless of how you play or how you've been betting for years, get with MyBookie. MyBookie is a rock solid place to get your sweet, sweet action on. Not just the NFL, but college football now with the SEC coming back, the NBA playoffs headed towards the finals, and of course the Stanley Cup and a whole bunch more. Right now they've got a $100,000 super contest for only a $10 entry, and they're giving away $5,000 in cash prizes every 4 weeks. You'd be crazy not to invest in your sports knowledge with that kind of potential return. Sign up at MyBookie. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to claim your 100% deposit match all the way up to $1,000. That means if you put in $100, they'll give you another $100 to gamble with. It's easy to jumpstart your bankroll this way. NFL, NBA, and MLB, they've got it all on tap, and it's never too late to get started. So let's go. MyBookie, it's winning season now, exclusively at MyBookie.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.